Time is almost upon us. The World Cup is imminent, and we'll be giving you a bit of an update each day, a bit of a retrospective on the games, and a look ahead to the next day's action with David Clark, RNIB's Chief Operations Officer, who is a bit of a footy fan and not unfamiliar with the football either, are you, David?
Well, I do like a bit of football, Alan. Used to play a bit, certainly do a lot of supporting, and yeah, I mean, memories of long back on the World Cup, you know, it was always that sort of feeling of excitement of teams you never knew about and names you never knew about. And yeah, probably the first memory is the 82, I think. 82 in Spain, and then staying up for the Mexico one. And then, of course, Italia 90 was an amazing one, wasn't it? So yeah, lots of happy memories around this.
It's funny you mentioned 1982. That's the kind of first one that I really remember. And when I look back on being a Scot, the Scotland squad had an amazing set of players in it, but you know, never really great as a team, but some fantastic individuals in there.
I'll tell you what they did have. They had the best song. Do you remember? Was it Somebody's Dream? Was it,
We Have a Dream.
We Have a Dream. What a great song that was. I actually bought that song. I've got to admit that. It was brilliant.
Well, we are about to start the new World Cup. Before we start talking about the Panini sticker albums, we'll move on to that one, I think. You know, it's in Qatar. It's an unusual time of year. It feels a bit weird. I always associate the World Cup with June, July, August, the summer. But here we are heading into the winter.
I was wondering, actually, like, how much of this will be different. You know, normally end of a long season, whereas you've got this just sort of 2 months into the new season for much of the world. Obviously, other parts of the world play at different times. So that factor is a bit strange. Then you've got the kind of heat or no heat factor, which is, again, slightly strange. And then, of course, you've had very little prep. So some of the players who are going to be stepping out for the teams on Monday and Tuesday would have just been playing for their club teams on the previous Sunday. So I'm getting my excuses in early for my predictions, Alan, I've got to tell you, because that there's just three factors alone there that are completely at odds with what we might have known previously.
Well, I am going to ask you for some predictions a little bit later, David. What's also interesting about this one, I was looking at the coverage. Now, you know, for people like you and I who are blind, you know, football is great, but you really need a proper commentary. You need a kind of audio-described commentary, if you like. And from what I've seen, BBC, if you're going to be watching on iPlayer or the BBC Sports website or via the red button, I think they're having Five Live Sport are going to be doing some of the coverage over the top of the game on the TV as well, if you go through those channels.
Certainly the games that are being covered by the BBC will have the Radio 5 Live commentary over the top. And importantly, for those watching in the group setting, it will be synced, because the last thing you want to be is either the last person to jump up when there's a goal, or the first person, which is probably even worse, because you dive up in the air when there's a goal and everyone else is watching you for 5 seconds going, what's the matter with them? And then all of a sudden everyone else goes up. So the BBC can only do what they can do in terms of doing it on the games they're covering, but they have committed to do that, which is great.
Looking forward to that, because during the European Championships, you know, we had it on in the house. My wife was actually watching some of the games, which surprised me, first of all. But I was listening to the radio, and she was getting the results literally about 20 seconds before I was. So she's cheering or booing, and I'm thinking about, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. It's not acceptable, is it? And of course, you know, it's a huge social event. People do watch together. So yeah, really important that this is provided.
Now, we've got two of the home nations are going, England and Wales. It's been quite a while since Wales has been there as well. And Gareth Southgate, again, he's keen to bring the trophy back, as all managers are. But there was a real determination, I think, that I heard from him in the past couple of days that probably hasn't been there before.
He's had some fantastic results, hasn't he? Semi-finals of the World Cup, final of the Euros. He has, factually, got a really good record in tournament football. I think it's fair to say it's been a little bit less successful in terms of the Nations League, etc., over the last few months. And therefore, you know, I do think it's an interesting one. But I think that, I think the time of year is really interesting, because maybe a lot of these players will have played themselves into form. I think the unknown factor, of course, is they haven't been playing together. Wales have got a really tight-knit squad. Kiefer Moore banging the goals in at the moment. And yeah, they've got some players in great form, and particularly in the game against England, they're going to step it up, right? So no foregone conclusions at all. And I actually have Wales qualifying through to the next round.
where the World Cup is this year, we can't really talk about it without, mentioning the controversy around where the games are being held and all sorts there. But, FIFA, as well as the Olympics, when it was in Shanghai and so on, you're always keen to distance themselves a bit from the political side of things. Bit tricky here as well.
How can you disassociate yourself from the politics, the culture, the legal framework? It's very, very difficult. But I'm also very conscious that I don't really want to sit in judgment on how other people and how other countries choose to live their lives. What I absolutely will sit in judgment on, though, is the rights of human beings. And, we as a rights-based organization understand A, the importance of those rights, and B, the impact on losing them or not having them at all. And so the decision to have the World Cup in Qatar was FIFA's. It's their responsibility. They can choose to do that. All the countries participating have chosen to participate. At the end of the day, this is football. It'll take place on a football pitch in a football stadium. But I don't think, in all good conscience, we can actually not recognize some of the issues therein. And we can't not comment on some of the issues therein. And for me, football is a game for everybody, no matter what role you're playing in it, and everybody should have the ability to be themselves when viewing, administrating, playing, refereeing, whoever you are, wherever you are. It's a game for all. I spent too much of my life as a disabled footballer being locked out of football not to fight for that kind of an outcome. So I read a wonderful article in The Athletic, which was about how they were covering it. And they're going to cover the football, they're going to cover the tactics, they're going to cover everything else, but they're also going to cover the wider perspective as well. And I think it would be very disingenuous not to do so.
Football or sport in general, we always talk about how it can break down barriers, how it can bring people together. I suppose, has anyone, do you think, looked at the opportunities here to help change attitudes as well?
I mean, the very fact that we're talking about it, the very fact that some countries are making a specific stand, the fact that our players are talking about it, our managers talking about it, our press is talking about it. But I also think we have to be very, very careful not to look to other countries and stand in criticism without looking at ourselves and without looking at our society. I've read articles, I've even witnessed this season alone some pretty horrific behavior towards certain sections of our society. And therefore, I think it's something we have to be on at all times. As I said, football is a game for everybody, and everyone needs to be included. And yeah, I do absolutely think that. I mean, the World Cup is the biggest event in the world, so it is a time to shine on it.
Just going back to inclusivity and so on, we're talking about the audio description earlier, David. I noticed that in this tournament, the opening ceremony, closing ceremonies are going to be audio described. And even for those in Qatar, there's going to be Arabic AD as well as English audio description as well. So, good to see that growing too.
Absolutely. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it should be absolutely at the forefront of every bid document. The reason why we're so keen that this sort of stuff is embedded into procurement processes, be that in the UK or elsewhere, is because it makes people think about doing the right thing, do the right thing. But of course, as I experienced at the Champions League final in May, all well and good having audio description, absolutely no use at all if you can't find how to get it. So when I walked into the stadium, I mean, it ended up being one of the smaller problems on the evening in Paris. However, no one had a clue where audio description was. So you can go to all that trouble, and I do know from some of the wider work that FIFA does that they do this work. But it's really, really important that fans attending are able to access it easily.
Just before we finish then, David, I'm going to talk about your predictions for the game. I'm kind of torn at the moment because, there's some factors here that are, as you say, are different from previous World Cups. So I'm going to ask you who you think is going to make the final or even lift the trophy at the end. For me, I'm a bit torn between Brazil winning the trophy and England and Croatia making it to the final.
I haven't gone as far as you. So there are eight groups. For anyone who doesn't know, there are eight groups, A to H. And I have the following teams qualifying. I've got the Netherlands and Senegal from Group A, England and Wales from Group B, Argentina and Mexico from Group C, France and Denmark from Group D, Spain and Germany from Group E, Belgium and Croatia from Group G, Brazil and Switzerland from Group G, sorry, and Portugal and Uruguay from Group H. So you now have that in full audio. Those were my predictions, and perhaps we'll revisit them when we get to the next round, Al. But Yeah, there's a couple of dodgy groups in there. Group F and Group H, I think I'm a little bit concerned about, but those are my predictions.
What about who's going to lift the trophy? What's your prediction?
The team playing dreadfully, but are brilliant at winning these things is Germany. So why wouldn't you say Germany?
You're going with Germany, I'm going to go with Brazil. So we'll see what happens. We are going to be chatting to you each day on Daily Connect just after 9 a.m. Weekdays for a look at the games as well. So looking forward to that, and enjoy the opening ceremony, David. Thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
I will be listening to the audio described version. Thanks a lot and look forward to speaking to you soon.